good morning. We have the director of the Matsubara Bible Camp, Suzuki Kiyoshi. All campsites having a difficulty because of the coronavirus. And the Matsubara Bible Camp is experiencing the same difficulties. He's been working at the Matsubara Bible Camp for a long time. And he's trying to be very creative in doing things that are possible under the corona pandemic. Do you remember Suzuki Daiki, who was a seminary student? He's now a pastor. But he served our church. And his brother is Suzuki Kiyoshi, today's preacher. And his father was a preacher as well. So he'll talk a little bit about his experience as well. But so he is working for the Matsubara Bible Camp. So he's going to give us a sermon. We have some information about Matsubara Bible Camp, and we ask for your prayers for the camp. Now, let me read today's passage, Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." That is today's passage. Now, Pastor Suzuki is going to preach a sermon titled The Chair of Sin. Let's welcome him with a big hand. Good morning. My name is Suzuki Kiyoshi, working for the Matsubara Bible Camp in Nagano. I'm so happy to see you all and join this worship service with you. It's wonderful to be able to see you face to face, but I'm with you now. And also people who are on the internet, thank you for this opportunity to be with you. I wanted to talk to you directly, so I came to this church. Thank you for praying for our campsite and providing us with support. What is there are some things that we share, Matsubara Bible Camp and Tsuchiro Megumi Church. One of them is these big black loudspeakers. We use the same brand of brand speakers. Those are the same thing that we use. My hobby is to collect various music instruments, so I'm interested in those as well. As the pastor said, my father is a pastor, and I have two older brothers, one older sister, one younger sister, and one younger brother. So I was in the middle, so that's how I grew up. So I have I'm the third from the top. So I had everything: older brother, older younger brother, older sister, and younger sister. When I was in middle school and high school, I was a member of a rugby club. Today I want to talk about Matthew. Matthew is one of those people whose lives were transformed. There's a similar story in the book of Mark and book of Luke, and there's a person named Levi. And Levi is a name very common. In Japan, you know, Sato-san and Suzuki-san are very common. My name is Suzuki, of course. I live in a small town in Komimachi. And it's a very rare name, actually, that Suzuki is. So the people know that because my name is Suzuki, that I'm an outsider in that area. Most people in this city of 5,000 has only six last names, basically. That's where I live. It's a small town. So Matthew is basically the is the same as Levi. Those are the same people. And Matthew is actually a foreign name. Look at Matthew 9 again. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. The first point I want to make is about Matthew as a tax collector. He was a tax collector. He collected tax. And as a tax collector, there's another person who is very famous in the Bible, who is Zacchaeus. So he's very well known, isn't it, in the Bible? Probably you remember his name. So, but Matthew was also a tax collector. And tax collector's job is slightly different from what we see, you know, the officials in our tax office here in Japan. Israel was colonized by Rome. So Israel was a colony. And Romans are very smart, and they did not collect tax on their own, because they knew that if they try to, they should let local people collect tax. So that's why they hired tax collectors from local people. That's what's very smart about Romans. Of course, tax collectors for Hebrew people were traitors, because they're working for the Roman government, collecting tax from Jewish people. So tax collectors were hated. And then there was another reason they were hated, because they skimmed a percentage off the tax. So and of course they needed to, you know, salary. So they needed to collect tax, but also they needed to pay themselves. So they made extra money by requiring more tax than required by the Roman government. And of course, the more he asks, the more money he makes. And because human beings are very vulnerable to their own greed, so they tended to collect more and more than they needed. And probably they took bribes from tax evaders as well. So they were hated by Jewish people, and they were in that sense sinning by telling lies as well about how much money they needed to collect. And Matthew probably did not want to become a tax collector. It's not like that was his dream. You know, he did not say, my future dream is to become a tax collector. So whatever, probably he has some reasons he had to become a tax collector. So he was, he lost friends, he was despised, and maybe because of that, the only thing he could do was to make money, and then this vicious circle continued. And this Matthew, sitting at the tax collector's booth, was probably very, very lonely. You know, and when we live our lives, we feel lonely as well. We may seem to have friends at work or in school. And sometimes we feel like we are together, but sometimes we feel lonely too, don't we? You know, I have, you know, on the internet, I have an account where I write things, but I can't really share with my honest opinions of people on the internet. When Matthew was sitting at the tax collector's booth, you know, Jesus came by. Probably Matthew knew that Jesus was coming. And he was sitting there in a chair in the tax collector's booth. And the crowd gathered around Jesus. And probably Matthew was alone sitting in the tax collector's booth. Why do you think he was doing that, sitting alone? Probably there was no one who said, let's go and see Jesus. He didn't have any friends. He was marginalized. He was lonely. He was sitting alone. Maybe he wanted to leave that job. He wanted to run and join other people, maybe. But no one said anything to him. The book of Matthew and the book of Luke call Matthew Levi. But in the book of Matthew, somehow it's called, he's called as Matthew. That was his witness, you know. He is calling himself Matthew, the Matthew that was a tax collector that was lonely, and Jesus came and talked to him. Jesus said, "Let's go. Come with me." He did not say, you cannot become a child of God because you're a tax collector. He did not say, you cannot become a child of God because you have no friends. Instead, Jesus said to Matthew, come with me, follow me. And this is Matthew, the tax collector. My second point I want to make is, you know, who invited Matthew? It was Jesus. Jesus Christ, in this passage, compared himself to a medical doctor. He invited tax collectors and sinners and had dinner with them. And the Pharisees were critical. If you look at verse 11, it says, when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? So that was a very, natural question. Matthew and other tax collectors and all other problems had all kinds of problems. You know, those people had bad images. But Jesus said, in verse 12, on hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Of course, the sick does not refer to people who are literally medically sick. But he is talking about people who have problems, who have for suffering. Japan, and of course in the world, has such people. And people who come to our camp are also those people who are having lots of kind of problems. You know, there are people who are hurt. And people who are volunteers on our camp are having problems as well. How about you? I'm one of those as well. I'm hurt, may fall at any time. There was one thing people used to say to my friend, oh, you have no problem. You have nothing to worry about. You're always smiling. And that friend often said, yeah, you're right, with a little bitter smile. But that friend had lots of problems he could not share with other people. So, when we are living, we sometimes feel lonely, like Matthew. Why is that there are so many problems that are just affecting me? And sometimes we can't control our anger. And there are things that we cannot forgive and forget. And we have sometimes an inferiority complex. And there are lots of social pressure on us. Sometimes we hate ourselves. And that's how Matthew was as well. What about Pharisees then? Are they good people? Righteous people? No. Jesus quoted Hosea and said in verse 13, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. What does this mean? Sacrifice means, refers to, you know, the kind of effort that Pharisees engage in to try to prove themselves that they are righteous. People who think who can get everything done by their own power. But Jesus did not like those people. Jesus liked people who needed mercy. And this mercy was given to those who who know themselves as sick. God has mercy on those people who do not believe they are righteous. People who are lonely. People who can confess their weakness. People who are lonely. So God has mercy on those people. You know, we act like Pharisees as well. We forget that we are sinners who are invited. Sometimes we forget and do not understand the mercy that God is giving us. And what did Jesus say to those people? He said, go and learn. It's not like, you know, what sacrifice we offer. It's not that sacrifice that saves us. It's the mercy that saves us. Go and learn, Jesus said. The third point I want to make is that as long as, you know, Jesus Christ is our doctor, then there is prescription, there is medicine. So this medicine can heal Matthew, the tax collector, and Pharisees as well. He, Jesus, came to us to heal us. If you look at verse 9, it said, verse 9 says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. Follow me, Jesus said. That's all he said, and that's all we need. He is like a great medical doctor. However difficult our medical conditions are, he said, let's go together with me. Let's eat together. He's inviting us. And that's what Matthew the tax collector found. You know, God is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus said, follow me. And he does not leave us behind. He said, he follows me. So, which means God is with us. God did not choose us, not because of our ability. God chose us because of our weakness. God chose us because we are sinners. God chooses people who are sinful, people who are suffering in sin, people who are marginalized by other people who are bullied, people who bleed other people who could not stand on their own. These are the people who God chooses. Matthew stood up from the chair of sin at the tax collector's booth. I entitled my sermon the Chair of Sin, but that 20 years ago I listened to a sermon that was the title, also used this same title. And when I went to a special evangelical meeting, and those staff people at the a church worked with me. And I'm doing this work because of those people who, those Christians who worked with me on my problems 20 years ago. Matthew stood up from the chair that he was sitting on. And he was able to stand up because of Jesus. Because Jesus said, follow me. So that was not because Matthew had power to stand up. He could not stand up psychologically. But Jesus said, follow me. That's why he was able to stand up. And God asking us to stand up as well from the chair of sin. And people make many decisions at the camp. And the wonderful decisions people make accepting Jesus. And I believe they made true, honest decisions. But however decisions we make to follow Jesus, and sometimes that decision becomes weaker and weaker later, we become full of worry. But God is telling you again today, follow me. It's not your power. Emmanuel, God with us. That comes, so God comes with you. Come with me, he says. Look at me, he says. I'll be with you. God is not asking you try to be a righteous Christian, to become a powerful person with your own power, to become I don't like the word, you know, great Christian. God says those things will be given to you when you follow me, Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. That's why he said, follow me. I am the life, the truth, Jesus said. And it's a miracle that Matthew stood up and followed Jesus. And this kind of miracles happens every time. Every time we say that a person like me can come to church, when you realize that you're loved by God, that's a miracle. A person like me is forgiven. A person like me is following Jesus. The person like me lives today. That's a miracle, and that's God's mercy. God does not choose us because of our ability. God chose us because of our weakness. God is inviting you again today. God says, follow me. And those who follow him will continue to be transformed. And there is the cross of Jesus. He will fight for us because of our sins. Our sins are forgiven. Sometimes our pain doesn't go away very easily. But if we follow Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus, we will be healed. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, who is love, you told me that told me that you follow me. I trust you, Lord. Please bless those pastors, this church's pastor and staff members, and please bless those people who are in this worship hall and people on the internet. Please have mercy on them. I trust you, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.